Well, it was a tale of two LSU baseball teams over the weekend, but LSU baseball gets it done on Tuesday night against ULM, a big time win. Now, I promised y'all I would never get too high or too low on midweek game wins and losses. But was this game against ULM a sign of what's to come? Plus, it was released by Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated today. There has been a bill proposed to the NCAA for more transparent goings on, whatever goes behind the scenes with the NCAA in terms of infractions. How could that affect LSU and what would that look like moving forward? And also, it is a Mailbag Wednesday, so I'll get into all of your questions, all of that and more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every single day. Now, make sure to interact with the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I post podcast updates. I post LSU updates, my thoughts on LSU sports, and just things around the sports world in general. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On LSU. I'll post podcast updates on that account as well. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of the podcasts that you can find on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, you can find the full podcast on YouTube as well as a video element. And whenever you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you'll get a notification. And as soon as those videos drop, you will be notified. So you won't miss a single second of LSU content. So make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On LSU. But first and foremost, LSU baseball getting a big time win against Louisiana Monroe on Tuesday night at home. A big time 15-4 midweek win over ULM. Now, why is that important? Yes, getting another tally in the win column is important. And yes, a big win like that, a 15-run game, a statement win very much so, especially how much that's contrasted from their midweek loss against Louisiana Tech last week. But that's exactly what I want to hone in on is, you know, a 15-4 win over ULM versus a loss against Louisiana Tech. And I know that those are two very different teams in terms of talent, in terms of rankings, but what happened in that week between the game against Louisiana Tech and the game on Tuesday night against ULM? Because those were two very, very different LSU baseball teams. And I like to call it a tale of two LSU teams, because that team against Louisiana Tech last week didn't look great defensively. And that team last weekend against Florida, I think we saw both of those teams. It was tale of two LSU teams on Friday night. It was a tough 7-2 loss coming off a midweek loss against Louisiana Tech. I mean, just an absolute atrocious display of defense from LSU on that game at Florida on Friday. And really, the score was 7-2, which is not great. But when I was watching that game, I felt like it was worse than that. I felt like it was just salt in the wound with every single error committed and every single play that should have been made that wasn't. I mean, I knew going into SEC play after we saw a few series from LSU that this team's strengths absolutely lied in its offense and that there were some holes in the defense. And I've talked about it on podcasts in the past that, yeah, LSU committed errors and has committed mistakes on defense, but in the past, they've been able to dig themselves out of it because of how good their bats are. But whenever you get into SEC play, you got to be good on both sides of the ball. You can't just be elite at the plate and then, you know, just give up stupid runs here and there with errors committed in the field. That was on Friday night. And then on Saturday and on Sunday in Gainesville, I mean, that was a completely different team. That was a completely different team than we saw the week before or even the night before on Friday in Gainesville. Saturday, a 16-4 win. Sunday, an 11-2 win. 27-2 games, as opposed to a 7-2 loss against Florida on Friday. So what happened Friday into Saturday? Now, of course, there were some lineup changes. I mean, Jay Johnson switched Cade Doughty and Jordan Thompson's positions in the infield. Doughty moved from second base to shortstop, switched Jordan Thompson, who moved from shortstop to second, and they both absolutely seemed more comfortable in those roles. But I don't think it's as simple as just an infield switch. I mean, you could look at the batting lineup, you could look at the batting order, and Jay Johnson did flip it on Saturday, and you could say, well, maybe it was the adjustments to the batting order. I don't know how much of it was a change in personnel. I don't know how much of it was a change in the batting order, or if it was going up against left-handed pitchers, or if it was a switch up in designated hitters, or was it something that Jay Johnson said in the locker room on Friday night / Saturday morning that just woke this team up? Because it wasn't just, you know, a few errors that were fixed here and there in the infield, and that, you know, that they felt better in different positions. And it wasn't just, you know, oh, we got to, you know, clean up hitters hitting in the four hole, whatever it may be. I mean, the energy for that team was totally reignited on Saturday. I follow Tennessee baseball fairly closely just because I live in Nashville and that's a team that I cover. Tennessee baseball is currently the top-ranked team in the nation, and very rightfully so. They're on a 15-game win streak. They have yet to lose a game at home. I believe their only loss on the season is to Texas in that tournament in Houston. I mean, Tennessee is just an absolutely lights out team. They swept Ole Miss, who was the former number one team in the country. Tennessee has been outstanding so far, number one team in the country. On Friday, I looked at LSU and I thought, God, this is going to be a tough, tough season if this is how things continue to go. But on Saturday and Sunday, I said, that's a team that can compete with Tennessee. That's a team that can compete with the number one team in the country. That is a team that can compete, that just swept the former number one team in the country in Ole Miss. On Saturday and Sunday, I saw a completely different LSU team in a good way. So why did Tuesday night's game against ULM matter so much? It's because LSU looked like the LSU like they looked on Saturday and Sunday. One thing that concerned me so much about LSU baseball so far is that it was kind of, they would be on and then off, and then the bats would be moving and then they wouldn't, and then they'd be making mistakes, and then they looked good in the infield and the outfield, and I didn't know what to put my finger on it. And I looked at the game on Saturday. I said, keep that up. Don't let that be a one-time thing. And then it wasn't on Sunday. And on Tuesday, I looked at that game against ULM, and I will never, ever get too high or too low on a midweek win or loss, because I'd rather you lose a game in the middle of the week because of pitching changes to, you know, rest pitchers' arms on Tuesday or Wednesday in order to use them on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Like, I'll never get too high on that. But the energy was there, and the feeling that this team is a team that can consistently put up 13, 14, 15, 16 runs on a weekend and weekend out basis. That's what I wanted to see, was the energy and the electricity. And that's totally what I saw carry over from that series win in Gainesville into that game against ULM. Now, they got a quick turnaround. They'll be playing Auburn on Thursday, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So that's exactly what I'm going to be looking for, is that intensity there? Is that energy there? Because that's exactly what LSU had been lacking, is the energy and the intensity. It's not the efficiency at the plate. They have it. They have the skill. It was definitely some mistakes that were made on the defense, but I need to continue to see what I saw on Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday night from LSU baseball. But coming up next, there is a new bill proposed to the NCAA from two U.S. senators. Could we see it getting passed? What would it mean for the NCAA moving forward? And more specifically, what would it mean for LSU moving forward? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I got to let y'all know about Stat Hero. I mean, only a couple days left until the Final Four. Love to see it. But at this point, I mean, my bracket is completely busted. But that's fine, because at this point, I'm just watching the games to enjoy the game. But it makes it so much easier to watch these games and engage these games with StatHero. StatHero's NCAA single game pick'ems pit the star players against each other in this amazing hybrid between and sports gambling. Take control back from those handicappers that always seem to have the advantage. Start focusing on the players you know best, with a gameplay that doesn't rely on big spreads or long odds or funky props. StatHero gives you the advantage, resulting in their gamers winning 4 times more often. Why? Because StatHero eliminates the mystery about who or what you are going up against. But in addition to their pick'em games, they also have dozens of lineups you can comb through to take on head-to-head. They simply post sets of players for you to take on with a set of players that you choose. StatHero is the easiest and fastest way to get your sports action fixed with a simple, sleek gameplay. They're going to have you playing in minutes, and that is exactly what Daily Fantasy was meant to be. So we got the final four on Saturday. Now, it's going to be a really, really interesting weekend. We got the two blue bloods. It's honestly four blue bloods. But we got UNC Duke, two certified blue bloods playing each other this weekend. Now, I do think that UNC does end up getting the win. So take your pick from UNC's starting five, because I do think they're going to have a big game when what might be Coach K's last game at the helm of Duke. I'm going to take anyone from the starting five from UNC, because I think they're going to have a big game on Saturday. So sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% match. stathero.com/lockedon, promo code LOCKEDON, terms and conditions apply. So, I mean, at this point of the year, I've given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but we're getting into the springtime, and that's when you're going to the beach for spring break, or maybe you're starting to wear shorts, and you're taking your coat off, you're showing yourself off a little bit more. So you want to stick to your resolution to eat right, and that is so easy to do with Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, because I actually enjoy eating them. Plus, you got to try the puffs if you haven't. You're missing out on one of the best tasting Built Bars on the market. They're the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're not just a protein bar, they're a treat. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, just like a candy bar. They're a fan favorite. They've got incredible flavors. They've got great churro, coconut marshmallow, my personal favorite, banana cream pie. They're delicious, and I promise they'll be your new favorite as well. All of the bars, not just the puffs, are covered in 100% real chocolate, but they're low calorie and high protein. So you can replace all of your candy bars with these, because they're better and they're just as good tasting as a candy bar. Plus, a candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories, while Built Bars, on the other hand, are only 130 calories. They only have 4 grams of sugar. They only have 4 net carbs and 17 grams of protein. Candy bar has like 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs. Candy bars are bad for you, even though they taste good. But Built Bars, you don't have to compromise taste to have all of that good stuff. They've got great flavors, and they're coming out with new flavors all the time. If you think a flavor might be good, they will make it. It'll be delicious, and it will be good for you. At Built Bar, they're all about taste. They make it taste delicious, and then they cram all the healthy stuff in there. But I don't really know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks for making Lockdown LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. So for me personally, I always got so fed up with the NCAA because I felt like for so long, it's been an entity that's just been dying to continue to stay relevant. And ever since the NIL deal came out, it seemed like the NCAA really just is obsolete. And it felt like the NCAA was just like the fun sucker of college sports. Like, you know, anytime anyone wants to do something good, the NCAA comes out and just, you know, blows a whistle and says, no, can't do that, not allowed. So I have my qualms with the NCAA. But I think my biggest issue with the NCAA is not just, you know, silly infractions, but it's the lack of transparency in the process. It's almost like the NCAA slaps a bunch of infractions on you and says you can eat your vegetables. But I don't really necessarily think that that's fair. I don't necessarily think it's fair that the NCAA can operate under their own set of rules, under their own set of rules that really are gray as opposed to black and white, and say, you know, two schools may commit the same quote-unquote NCAA crimes and the punishment could be completely different. I don't think that's fair. That's not how at least the U.S. judicial system goes. So why should the NCAA be any different? There are two senators that thought the same. Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee and Cory Booker of New Jersey have introduced a bipartisan bill called the NCAA Accountability Act of 2021, intended to do exactly that, to show a little bit of transparency in the infractions process and show requirements of exactly what the infractions processes may be. Now, it's a 10-page bill, and it's an attempt to, quote, streamline, shorten, and bring greater equity to an NCAA to investigate an arm that has drawn harsh criticism from virtually every corner of collegiate athletics. And I would agree, because that's exactly what it is. It's lengthy. It's years and years long. I mean, we are still looking at some of the infractions from 2017 at LSU, from 2019 at LSU. And it's getting to the point where, you know, why are we punishing kids now? Let's say players now. Hypothetically, in a hypothetical world, let's say LSU is stamped with a 2-year postseason ban in the men's basketball program. Okay, so you're looking at players now who were in middle school and high school when Will Wade committed those NCAA crimes, quote unquote. You're looking at players that don't even play for Will Wade. You're looking at players who will now face the punishments of somebody who came before them, of somebody who committed those NCAA infractions when those kids were in middle school and high school. That makes no sense whatsoever. If the NCAA is going to be an organization that claims that they look out for the well-being and the greater good of student-athletes, then punishing student-athletes for infractions that they didn't even commit is so unfair. And it's not for the greater well-being of student-athletes. And it's not for the greater good of the NCAA and for collegiate athletics. It's really just the NCAA being able to wave their fist and saying, we're going to be able to take as much time as we damn well please, and you're going to have to deal with it. And I think that is so incredibly twisted. Now, this bill would do a few things. One, it requires the NCAA investigations to be complete within 8 months. So that's saying, look, you got this timeline, whatever phone records you need to collect or whatever interviews you need to conduct, whatever evidence that you need, you can do it within 8 months. And if it takes longer than that, sorry. Another part of this bill says it prohibits the NCAA for punishing schools for violations 2+ years old. Thank you. And I know that you may be listening to this and saying, well, of course you approve this bill because this would give LSU and the men's basketball program and even now the men's football program with Odell Beckham Jr. handing out the money after the 2019 national championship, we're out of that 2-year span. So you may look at it and say, well, of course you approve of it because it's good for LSU. And while that's true, yes, of course, I would not be opposed to that for LSU kind of being escaping from those infractions that they may or may not be faced with in the next coming months. It's something that is relevant, not just for LSU now, and it's something that I've been a proponent for a very long time, not just LSU and not just right now. It's silly to force kids, as I said, 18-year-old kids, to serve the time for a crime they did not commit. So while, yes, it does benefit LSU, and I don't know if they're going to be retroactively implementing this. I don't even know if this is something that will be implemented. Now, this is just a bill that was proposed. These are not new rules. Let's establish that. But even if it does help LSU or not, I think this is something that absolutely needs to come into play to just make the NCAA more fair, honestly. Another thing says that it would prohibit the NCAA from using confidential sources for decisions. There comes in the transparency part here. Now, I don't necessarily know the ins and outs of the confidential sources and who was, incriminated for a testimony from a confidential source. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that comes into play here. But the transparency of the NCAA's process, I think, is key here. And that's exactly what they're doing here. And the final part of this bill said it would require the NCAA to submit annual reports to the U.S. Attorney General. Exactly. Okay, this is what we did. These are the processes that we went through. These are the punishments. These are the evidence that we collected just so the NCAA has a little bit of accountability from a greater power to say, oh, this is what we've done throughout the year, and here's just full on transparency. And I think this will help with consistency. And I think that this will help fans, student athletes, athletic directors, athletic programs, and just everyone involved in general to just understand exactly what the goings on are behind the curtain of the NCAA. Because why not? I mean, if you're playing by the book, if you're doing quote unquote what's right and best for student athletes and what's just for the NCAA and for collegiate athletics, then transparency should be no problem. Now, this could or could not affect LSU. Now, I doubt that this is a bill that's going to be implemented within the next coming months. I'm sure that this is going to be a long process moving forward. If it does help LSU, wonderful. If they want to retroactively implement this for the investigation that is currently going on for LSU, then the charges that would be faced again, most likely, I would say most, if not all of them would be dropped, because you're looking at the 2019 national championship season. That's all been 2+ years. The strong ass offer debacle, that's been 2+ years. So I believe it would rid a good bit of what LSU is being faced against. But then again, we don't know exactly if that would come to fruition in time. It would certainly not hurt. But moving forward, if LSU, if any team runs into these infractions, at least we know more of what we're looking at. And at least we know there is now a statute of limitations for the NCAA if this bill is passed. And we'll follow this closely and we'll continue to look at exactly how this would affect the NCAA, how this would affect, you know, LSU's rivals in the SEC, how it would affect LSU itself. But it is very interesting to see some state legislature taking a stand against the NCAA and saying, hey, a little bit of transparency would absolutely be appreciated. Now, coming up next, it is Mailbag Wednesday, so I will get to as many of your questions as I can. I've got some questions about basketball, a little bit about football, so we'll get to those as much as I can. Now, if you want to send in a question for next week's Mailbag Wednesday, please do so. You can send those out on Twitter. You can send them to my personal Twitter account. You can send them to the Locked On LSU Twitter account. You can comment them on our YouTube page. However you want to send your questions in, I'm more than happy to take them, so make sure to get those in for next week, and I'll get to as many as I possibly can. Before we do that, I got to let y'all know about Rock Auto. So with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of cars, it's almost impossible to go to your local chain auto parts store and have them have all the parts that you need in stock. So don't sit at your local auto parts store and wait for the parts to come in, or, you know, deal with the intimidating questioning, like what kind of oil or transmission does your car have? I don't know. I'm not a car girl, and I don't necessarily want to be berated with questions about my car. So why would you go into the store when you have your computer that has access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket? So you can save time and money when using Rock Auto. So why choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even double for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can go to rockauto.com? For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from the chain store. It's only $216 from Rock Auto. You're saving almost $150. Now take that $150 and go do something fun with it. Now, Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. So you know that this place is reliable and it's mom and pop owned. So you know that you are going to help a small business as well. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Now, it is Mailbag Wednesday. Like I said, if you have a question for me, feel free to send it in however you'd like. If that's Twitter, if that's on the YouTube page, however you'd like, feel free to send in your questions. But I try to get to as many of your questions as possible. It can be LSU related, any sport, anything's on the docket. If you want to ask questions about me personally, about how I got into the podcast, about my career, happy to take any and all of your questions. But first and foremost, we have one person asks, what do you make of the Matt McMahon hire? Now, if you go back to a couple weeks ago when I was listing out some of like the reaches for LSU's coaching hires and coaching hires that I would admire, coaching hires that I would be against, Matt McMahon was one of the names that I mentioned and a coaching hire that I would be ecstatic about because he has a proven track record of developing players. If you've heard of John Morant, he's pretty damn good. And he came from Murray State. And that was a player that was recruited by and developed by Matt McMahon. Matt McMahon is a coach that is a proven winner. I mean, he's taken Murray State to 3 tournaments since taking over in 2015. So in 7 years, been to the tournament 3 times. And this past season, he finished 31-3. So, I mean, just on the stats alone, the win and loss total alone this past season, and also throughout his entire career at Murray State, Matt McMahon has been a certified winner. Now, of course, you're going to look at the level of competition at Murray State versus at LSU is very different, of course, but also at LSU, he has so much more recruiting power, and he gets to tout the LSU name while recruiting. So the players that he's going to be able to bring in are great. And also, I have to applaud Matt McMahon, because while the LSU job absolutely is an upgrade from the Murray State job, Matt McMahon is inheriting kind of a lot. He's inheriting a lot, you know, NCAA infractions, a potential postseason ban, whatever it may be, just a lot of negative chatter surrounding the LSU basketball program. So I have to applaud Matt McMahon for being able to look at that as a challenge and embracing it wholeheartedly, because that's something that probably a lot of other coaches would look at and say, look, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. That's not really some dirty laundry that I'd like to get into bed with right now. So I'm really excited about the Matt McMahon hire. He seems very excited about being at LSU. Really pumped to see what he's able to bring at LSU. He won at Murray State. Hopefully he can bring that same kind of energy to LSU. But second question coming in from Mark. So concerned about the players leaving LSU's basketball program. So kind of in that same breath along with Matt McMahon, because we've seen a large group of LSU basketball players going into the transfer portal. Sharif O'Neal, the latest LSU basketball player, saying, hey, thanks, but no thanks, but I'm out. We've seen a good bit of LSU basketball commits re-enter or reopen their recruiting and saying, like, you know, I was committed to LSU and now I'd like to reopen my commitment, just with the uncertainty of the future of the program. Now, I'll state this, as I've said in the past, I'll reiterate that I don't blame these players at all. These players are only looking out for themselves. These players want to get into the NBA. And the best way to do that is to be on the biggest stage. And you can't be on the biggest stage in college basketball if you can't go to the postseason. So I don't blame them whatsoever. They're only looking out for themselves. No problem at all. But I would like to look at this with a glass half full approach, because while there are a lot of players on their way out, either because of the uncertainty of the program or Will Wade recruited them and they don't necessarily want to stay at LSU for any reason other than Will Wade, I get it. Matt McMahon will bring a lot of players in to LSU. Kendall Coleman, for example, is the first player from Murray State to say that he's coming to LSU to follow Matt McMahon. That's a sign of a good coach, first and foremost. But also, I think a lot of the holes that you see that have been created from players entering the transfer portal out of LSU, you're going to see kind of a similar move into LSU just with a great coach like that. So am I concerned? Yeah, it's kind of a bummer to see these players leave. And, you know, while I don't blame them, it definitely hurts to see this roster kind of ripped at the seams like this. But I do think that Man, but the way that he's able to recruit and the coach that he is, he's going to be able to bring more players in as well. So, yeah, bummed, a little bit concerned, but I think that, you know, everyone is a little bit concerned about the future of this program as well, but I think it's in good hands with Matt McMahon. Now, final question for today. Why do you think LSU brought in Tyrann Mathieu? This is an interesting question. I actually got a couple questions kind of along these lines of bringing in Honey Badger. Why wouldn't you, first and foremost? One thing that I have to applaud Brian Kelly for is the fact that he's totally embraced LSU's traditions. He's totally embraced just like LSU's history, LSU football history. And I think that this is one example of that, of bringing in one of LSU football's greatest and brightest stars and being able to talk to the players, being able to evaluate them in practice. He was at practice on Tuesday morning. And that's exactly what we will talk about on tomorrow's episode. We'll get into a little bit more of a spring football recap for LSU football. But I think that Brian Kelly and this entire staff brought in Tyrann Mathieu to bring a little bit of consistency and history into the program, because like I've mentioned so many times on the podcast, this is a completely new era of LSU football. I mean, it's a new coach, it's completely different players, maybe a new quarterback. I mean, this entire football program looks very little like it has in the past. I think bringing in Tyrann Mathieu, a little bit of consistency, a little bit of history into the program, and also some expertise and to show players like, hey, like, this guy got the same start that you did, and now he's lighting it up in the league, making millions in the league, and he's got a couple Super Bowl rings in his trophy box. So hearing his testimony and getting his expertise and also some coaching on the field, and I mean, it's a win-win for everyone. And he got to come home. He got to throw the first pitch of the game against ULM. It was a strike. It was one hell of a pitch at that. So yeah, just bringing him in and getting his expertise, kind of serving as a mentor, I think is exactly why Brian Kelly brought in Tyrann Mathieu. But that is going to do it for me today. Like I said, on tomorrow's podcast, we'll take a look at more of some spring football. What has it looked like? And also, what does the quarterback competition look like that's been heating up so far this week as well? But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. And make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.